Well, good morning again. We are entering into our second week of a series we're calling Reduce the Worry. Reduce the Worry. I find that I like preaching on worrying because it's something that everyone deals with. We talked about that last week. We know people that worry. We worry. And what we saw last week was that in the Scripture, Jesus just flat out says, don't worry. Stop worrying. And we kind of process through that. I kind of want to get us all on the same page again, because today we're going to talk about what worry does to us. And I want to use some words that we say when we're worried to kind of help us to grab this picture of what Jesus is going to talk about at the end of that Matthew 6 passage that we looked at last week. So let me throw out some words. Have you ever said something like this? Dear Lord, I can't take anymore. You ever said that? How about, God, one more thing and I'm going to explode. You done that one before? I'm at my limit. I hear that one a lot. I'm at my limit, God. What about the old phrase, that's the straw that break the camel's back, right? Now I want you to hear, in all those things, I'm at my limit. I've got so much, oh my God, I'm going to explode. That's that straw. These words that we say are showing us that worry brings a capacity problem into our lives. That we only have so much that we can handle, and worry and stress and anxiety brings us very quickly to where our capacity to do life is almost not there. And so what I want to do today is to tell you that makes sense because Jesus talked about it. He talked about how capacity in our lives, how if we have the right ideas on that and understanding worry, that we can shift some of that around. So before we get there, let me real quick, for those that weren't here last week, kind of review you real quick. In Matthew chapter 6, we looked at those verses where Jesus says, don't worry, and then he said, look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. And he takes two very important things that the people of that time dealt with, which was clothes and food, and he said, I know that clothes and food are important to you, but he said, I don't want you to worry about that. I don't want you to worry. And we kind of walked through what that meant. Last week, what we said is that there are important things in our lives. Now we can't say they're not important. I mean, Jesus used two of the biggest, most important things, food and clothes. So they are important. And the second thing we discuss, why we worry, is because around those important things swirl uncertainty. I don't understand, God. This might not work out. I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know about what's going to happen with my kids. I don't know what's going to happen with my marriage. I don't know what's going to happen at work. I don't know what's going to happen in my health. I don't know what's going to happen. There is this uncertainty swirling around something that's very important. And here's how the world, or here's how we try to take care of this, right? Two extremes. One is to pretend like it's not important. Oh, that's just not important. Don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. Now, to be honest, even when we're saying that, we still know it's important, and we're still worried about it. But we try to act like, oh, that's not a big deal. That's one extreme, to just kind of pretend it's not there. That's the other extreme right there, is trying to get rid of the uncertainty. And the way we get rid of the uncertainty is we just think about it. And we think about it, and we go, what can I do to stop the uncertainty? How can I make an uncertainty a certain thing? And then we just start spinning and spinning and spinning, trying to get this figured out. And then something else happens, and it's uncertain, and we're trying to figure that out. And that is where the worry comes from. Now, when we hear Jesus, we talked last week, say That there are important things and there are uncertainties, but don't worry. You know, something in our mind kind of clicks and goes, well, he must not think my stuff's not important. But that's not what Jesus said. He said it is important. Well, he must think that there's not uncertainty. You know, if I pray to God about this, what he needs to do is to bring certainty into this important issue. And then he doesn't. And we go, well, Jesus must not care. God must not care. But here's what Jesus said in this real simple teaching. He said, things are important. There is uncertainty. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the fields. And what he was saying in that was he was saying, notice that there's something more important than this. And that's my relationship with you. My relationship with you. He said, birds need food. If birds don't have food, they'll die. But what's more important is I feed the birds. He said, you know, flowers need petals. If they don't have petals, you're going to have a whole field full of dead flowers. But I watch after the flowers. And he said, in the same way, for our worries, he said, it is important. It is uncertain. But he said, when you hit that, look at the birds, look at the flower, and realize your relationship with God is more important than that, and that God's all over it. And then he said this, he ended the thing, and we ended this way last week, is he said worry about what's happening today and let tomorrow handle tomorrow. And in that, we just saw just this beautiful thing where God says, it's important, it's uncertain, so how about this? How about today you do everything you can do to work on this important, uncertain issue? But at the end of the day, you lay it down and you say, God, it's now in your hands. And every day, just let every day's worry about itself instead of having these big, big things on your shoulders about future worries. Now, I want to take it a step further. I want to come back to some of those verses that we had, because I think it's very interesting what Jesus did at the end of Matthew chapter 6. So let's go ahead and let's read that. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse number 30. In verse number 30, he's just talked about the flowers of the field. And he says this, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And he just said, why are you so worried about clothes? He's talking about this. And so in that thought of, you know, look, this is how I handle the flowers. Why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust me? He says, oh, you of little faith. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need him. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, within this, you know, we suddenly see that Jesus is sitting here and he's talking to these group of people who are having some issues with worrying, and how he wants to describe it is he said, listen, you got to stop worrying. And then he throws in this little phrase. He throws in this phrase, oh, ye of little faith. Now, I want to talk about that for a second. Oh, ye of little faith. It's an interesting thing, because we were talking about how sometimes when we look at the worry in our lives, we hit a capacity issue. So here's the first thing I want us to see, what worry does to us. When we have worry in our life, worry lowers our capacity for faith. Worry lowers our capacity for faith. Now, this really makes sense if you think about it. I was reading someone this, I think I was listening to someone this week, and they gave just the clearest picture of this I'd ever heard. They said, do you know what? They said, do you know that worry is the exact opposite of prayer? Worry is the exact opposite of prayer. I'd never thought about that before. When we pray, what are we doing? I am praying and I'm saying, God, there's something important in my life and I don't know how it's going to turn out. And therefore, I am calling on you and trusting you to put your hand into what I'm praying for. That's what prayer is, right? Prayer is saying, hey, God, well, prayer's a lot more than that. Prayer's talking to God. Prayer's, you know, having that relationship. But part of prayer is saying, there's things in my life, and God, I want you to know I am trusting you with those things. Now, worry is the exact opposite. Worry is saying, God, there is stuff in my life that's very important, that's very uncertain, and I am trusting me to take care of it. And I'm going to keep on trusting me to take care of it. And if you want to throw in and help me take care of it, that's good. But don't worry about me. I'm just going to be spinning and spinning and spinning right here. Prayer and worry are the exact opposite. You see why Jesus said, stop it. Stop worrying. When you start worrying, you lower your ability to have faith in God. In fact, watch what he says here, because this makes a lot of sense now. He said, you have little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Here's what he's saying. He said, when you as a Christian are choosing worry over prayer, it's the same thing as the non-Christian. The non-Christian doesn't have prayer. So all they have is, I've got something important, there's uncertainty, and I've got to do everything I can to figure it out, and I won't sleep until I figure it out, and it's just going to bother me until I figure it out. And he said, hey, Christians, why are you acting like pagans? I've given you the opportunity here. Prayer. Lay it down. Don't. He said, I want you to know I love you, but you've got so little faith that with your worry habit, it's not really discernible between who's the Christian and who's not the Christian. Now, some of y'all are very visual. I'm very visual too. So I want to give you kind of a visual look of what this means. So I have brought along two containers. Now, in this container, we're going to say the sand stands for all the worry that we have. All right, so I'm going to pour the sand in. That's all the worry I have. Well, okay, I'm lying. That's all the worry I have. We worry, we worry, and we worry. And then on top of that, we've got our everyday responsibilities, right? I got to go to work. I got to get up. I got to get the kids fed. And that all goes in. And then we say, I've got my faith. I've got to have faith. And God has all this he has for us. I got these gold ornaments to kind of show us. You know, God has, you know, small points of faith, and then he has big points of faith, right? But what we find that when we put the big faith in, there's not enough room. So we kind of say, well, I'll have some of the little faith then. There goes my big faith rolling across the floor. Can you grab my big faith? Now, isn't that interesting? Here's what Jesus said. Why do you worry, O you of little faith? He said, you've got all this worry, all this stuff. And he said, here's how much capacity you have for faith in me. And he says, I've got all these things I want you to have. I've got people I need you to minister to. I've got financial things I need you to give to. I've got prayer times that I need you to go pray for others. I've got all these things. And guess what? If I could get this into your life, oh my goodness, I'd be looking at you. Wouldn't this be crazy if Jesus looked at you and said, oh, you have big faith. In fact, you know, here's the interesting thing. scholars say that the only place in the entire New Testament where the two Greek words that Jesus put together here, little and faith, the particular word he used for little, the particular word he used for faith, the only place in the New Testament where that is right here. In fact, the only place in Greek literature that they've ever found those two words together was right here. And they said it was almost, I don't know if y'all ever do this, do y'all ever make up words to make a point? Yeah, you just look at your kids, all of a sudden you just come up with some crazy word, and your kids, that's not even a word, and you're just like, well, it is now. And it's almost like that's what Jesus was doing here. It's literally translated, you little faithers. Yeah, little faithers. He's going, look, you're worrying, and you've got all this responsibility, and now all I've got here, he said, I'm dying for you on a cross. I'm connecting you with your Holy Father, but what I'm looking out here is I've got little faithers. And little faithers aren't that much different than people with no faith whatsoever. So your first thought is this morning, is your worry destroying your capacity for these huge blessings that God has for you? Now, what do we do with that? Well, luckily, Jesus keeps going here. Let's go to verse 33. He says, but seek first his kingdom. He says, spend time with God first. And his righteousness. You know, now, guys, listen, there's two different things here. Sometimes we get into this thing of, I'm so worried. How do I get God to work in my worry, right? And we go, how can I rub the genie so he'll come out and he'll save me? All right, the Bible says seek God first. I'm getting up in the morning, I'm seeking God, and I'm reading. All right, now God, I'm worried about it. Show me what to do. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus says start developing in yourself a desire to spend time with God, a desire for God's things. When you start feeling that worry come on, then you just go, wait a minute, that's a red flag in my life. I need to think about the grace of God. I need to think about the joy of God. I need to think about the peace of God. He said, seek first, before you start worrying, as soon as worry hits your mind, push it aside and say, hey, no. I'm not a little faither. I'm a big faither. And I'm going to find those big faith things to put my mind on. And here's what God said. He said, as we do that, watch what he says here. He says, as we do that, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And now, that's interesting, right? Because, like I said, that's kind of our hang up with Jesus saying, don't worry. We go, well, Jesus must not care about this. If he wants me spending time with him, he must not really care about, you know, my kids failing out of college. He must not really care about the fact that I have this medical condition. He must not really care about my financial aid. He must not care about any of that. If he just says, don't worry about it, spend time with me instead. But listen to how he constructed that sentence. It's so beautiful. He said, seek first me, seek first my righteousness. And he says, and then, now let's come back and look. And instead of looking at it with little faith, you little faithers, now you can look at it with big faith. And you can do what we said, right? Of going, this is important, but what's more important is my relationship with God and his relationship with me. And I can do everything I can today for this, send the letter, make the phone call, whatever it takes, but lay it down at the end of the night and say, not going to worry about it now. Not because it's unimportant, not because all the question marks are gone, but because my relationship with God is so much more important than that. Let me illustrate that to you. If we take this and we put in the big faith and the little faith and the medium-sized faith. God said, seek me first. Get up in the morning, have a quiet time. if someone comes to you and says, hey, I've got a problem, spend some time with them. Pray for people. Think about, you know, God, you know, in my day-to-day, you know, what are you going to bring in? How can I notice you today, God? You know, things like that. Think about the truth of who God is. Do that first. And then this is what he says. He says, all these things will be added unto you. That's what God does. He said, you can go at it your way, where you worry about your stuff first, where you worry about the things going on, and then add me onto the top, and all you're going to be is little faithers. But if you add in first all the great things I have for you, then it turns out all the rest of the stuff will fit too. And I'll help you with that. And you won't have to worry. And you won't have to stress. And you won't have to explode or say, I can't take one more thing. Terry, do you have that video? Do you have that video? You didn't bring that one? You know which one I'm talking about? If you don't have it, don't worry about it. But I kind of wanted you to hear from someone else other than me on this. Is it too hard to do? Okay. While she's doing that, let's read what it finishes here. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He said, in a day, I can give you everything that you need. You got it? If not, don't worry about it. Let's move on. Last thing I want you to see is I want us to go to Philippians 4:6. I didn't write this one down in your notes, but as I was, and actually this video kind of pointed this one out to me, and I want to close today with just this thought of Philippians 4:6. Verse 6 says this, it says, do not be anxious about anything. That's that worry, right? Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. What did he just say there? He said, seek me first. Isn't that a beautiful connection to that last verse? He said, when you come upon things that cause you anxiety, stop and put seek me first. Thanksgiving and prayer, and he says this, he said when you do this, he said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and by petition and with thanksgiving, he said, now present your request to God. Seek me first, and then all these things will be added unto you. And then I love what number 7 says, that when we do that, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. Here's the 3 points for today. One is that worry steals your capacity for faith. Number 2, when we prioritize God, it enlarges our capacity for life and faith. Now we're big faithers. And then here's the beauty. when we start practicing this daily in our lives, instead of going, I'm going to explode. Oh, I can't handle anymore. Instead, what develops in our life is this little word, margin. Margin comes into our lives. As we first go to God, then bring our petitions to Him, margin comes up. And I just wrote like this, when we have margin, we have peace. When we have margin, we have peace. Have you ever had a piece of paper and it's got those little red lines? And when you're writing inside the red lines, everything's cool. Have you ever done it where you just went from, you know, side to side and didn't care about the margins? It's stressful, isn't it? Margins brings peace. It was one of the first sermons I did here when I became pastor. We talked about back then, 290 was those crazy walls, right? Y'all remember that 6 years ago? The whole 290 from Cyprus was these walls. And I just went how stressful 290 was because you didn't have a shoulder anymore. And when there was no margin for error, and that wall was right beside you, and everybody was still going 85 miles an hour on 290 for I don't know why. But anyway, stress, worry, anxiety. But margin brings peace. Listen to it one last time, and we'll close with this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you this morning that your words are so true. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to help us to stop choosing worry. And God, start choosing faith. God, it's not easy. God, we can make up so many excuses. But God, what we know for sure is that your word is true. And Father, if we'll just have the courage to apply it, Father, we can see just how dependable you are. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.